Hello, this is Priya reading Winthrop's and transcript. Published on Thursday, February 19, 2026. Marino provides update on State 3A meeting. Town Manager Tony Marino provided his regular update to the Town Council prior to the Council's scheduled meeting on Tuesday night. Marino hit on several ongoing projects in town, including the Revere Street TIP project and the fire station project, as well as a recent meeting with state officials regarding the MBTA 3A Communities Act. State Senator Lydia Edwards, State Representative Jeff Turco, Council President Jim Lattery, Marino and Town Attorney Jim Cipolletta met with Housing Secretary Ed Augustus and his team, along with Margaret Hurley from the Attorney General's office, to discuss Winthrop's 3A status and next steps now that the state has filed a lawsuit over Winthrop's non-compliance with 3A. Marino said the main questions asked by the Winthrop contingent included 3A's impact on existing condominium documents, as the proposed 3A district from the planning board includes condo developments at Seal Harbor and Governor's Park. The language the EOHLC includes in its district approval letters and how it could be interpreted to mean the EOHLC can make changes whenever it chooses. What a ballot question could like if Winthrop decided to put a 3A compliant district forward to the voters, and about the lawsuit and whether if the town were to lose in its defense and was forced to implement 3A, it could still use the district it originally brought forward to create a 3A overlay district at Seal Harbor and Fort Heath and Governor's Park. We did not receive direct answers to any of those inquiries, but the EOHLC said they would get back to us after discussing it with their internal stakeholders, Marino stated. Another topic of discussion was the grant restrictions and potential refusal of upcoming grant applicants. Council President Lattery asked about the 21st century grants for the school, which he felt should not be included in any withholding of grants, as it would be unfair to punish Winthrop students over a state-mandated zoning provision that Winthrop has not adopted. Public safety and public health grants and earmarks were also discussed, and the town officials insisted that Winthrop should be allowed to apply for and have the same opportunity that as 3A compliant towns, as these departments should not suffer or be denied resources over a state mandated zoning provision that we have not adopted, Marino stated. The Revere Street TIP project continues as they work on switching over to the new traffic lights and installing solar controls on the street lights so they go off during the daytime hours, Marino stated. The curb and concrete work will resume in the spring of 2026. The fire station demolition work continues as most of the auditorium has now been demolished, Marino stated. They will continue to remove debris and clean the site for the next few weeks. Also, the design plans for the new fire station are moving forward, and we will be planning a public meeting for input during the month of March 2026. In other news, Marino said work continues on the FY27 budget as the finance team compiles the budget and capital plan request from town department heads. We look forward to working with the town council and the citizens advisory committee on finance during the upcoming FY27 budget cycle, Marino stated. Finally, he noted that the dredging work at Fisherman's Bend is complete and gave special thanks to Northeast Mosquito Control for permitting and completing this project, along with the DPW crew that hauled the material off-site. Now to the next. Town Manager addresses sheriff concerns raised in Boston Globe article by Adam Swift. In his most recent update to the Town Council, Town Manager Tony Marino provided some clarity on a recent article and editorial in the Boston Globe concerning the Suffolk County Sheriff's Office and the Town Harbor Master. After reading the article and editorial in the Boston Globe, I want to assure everyone that our Harbor Master is the police chief in Winthrop and not the employee that the Suffolk County Sheriff's Department has assigned to our Harbor Master office, as the article incorrectly states, Marino stated in his town manager's report to the council. In the article from February 12, the Globe stated that last year Suffolk County Sheriff Steve Tompkins launched a Marine Patrol paying a jail officer to work full-time as a harbour master for the town of Winthrop. The article stated that Sergeant Dennis DeCarney is one of 15 sheriff's deputies assigned to work for other law enforcement agencies, including federal task forces, local police, and a SWAT team, according to public records from the agency, the Globe stated. We value our relationship with the Suffolk County Sheriff's Department at the Harbour Master's Office as well as other departments in the Winthrop Police Department, Marino stated. This arrangement has been beneficial to Winthrop and Suffolk County as it provides valuable resources that improve the safety and security of our waterways and all the cities and towns in Suffolk County. An editorial from the Globe's editorial board on February 16 criticized the spending of Sheriff's Department spending in Winthrop and across Suffolk County and the state, questioning whether the money paid to D. Carney and others was part of the mission of the Sheriff's Department. In the original Globe article, Winthrop Police Chief John Goodwin and D. Carney provides both a positive economic and operational boost for the town and works well at his job. Now to the next. Healy Driscoll Administration announces the opening of reservations for the 2026 camping season at DCR Parks. The Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation announced that reservations for the 2026 state park camping season will open to the public on Wednesday, February 18, 2026 at 9 a.m. Camping season at DCR's 25 campgrounds will begin in April and continue through October. Camping at a DCR park is a cherished tradition for families and friends from all over, many of whom return to the same campground year after year, and in some cases for decades, said DCR Commissioner Nicole LaChapelle. Spending time together outdoors strengthens relationships, creates lasting memories, and helps foster the vital connection between people and nature, along with a shared responsibility to care for these special places. Campers should note the following prior to booking a reservation. Reservations are available up to 4 months in advance of arrival. Same-day reservations are available until 2 p.m. daily through Reserve America. Campers should fill out all required fields of the reservation application at the time of booking to ensure a smooth arrival. Visitors without a reservation are not allowed in campsites. However, day use areas are available for gathering and outdoor activities. All pets must have physical proof of valid rabies vaccination. Entries may be denied at check-in if paper verification cannot be provided. Campground-specific updates. Fans of camping at Mount Greylock State Reservation and the Boston Harbor Islands are encouraged to monitor DCR's website and social media accounts for updates on the camping schedule. Savoy Mountain State Forest Campground will close July 31, 2026 to accommodate the construction of a new bathhouse. This season, Washburn Island will be available for camping on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. The campground at Washburn Island is accessible by private boat only. Please note that there is no on-site parking at the Wacket Bay National Estuarine Research Reserve or at the town of Falmouth parking lot at White Landings. Campers are responsible for finding suitable parking arrangements. Since last season, DCR has made several improvements to its campsites, including the new yurts at both Clarksburg State Park and Nickerson State Park. A list of DCR campsites can be found at DCR's campsite camping webpage. Campsites vary in offered accommodations, including showers, flush toilets, and RV water and power hookups. Yurts can be reserved at Miles Standish State Forest, Nickerson State Park, October Mountain State Forest, Clarksburg State Park, Otter River State Forest, Shawnee Cromwell State Forest, Wells State Park, and Willard Brook State Forest. Cabins can be rented at Mohawk Trail State Forest and Savoy Mountain State Forest. For more information on camping in cabins and yurts, visit DCR's Cabins and Yurt Camping webpage. Additionally, approximately 20 of the DCR's campgrounds have accessible campsite that all provide accessible parking, accessible restrooms, and a flat, firm, and stable surface for camping. For more information on accessible campsites, visit DCR's Accessible Camping webpage. Last year, DCR accepted nearly 65,000 camping reservations at parks across the state. For more information and questions about the 2026 camping season, visit the agency's website or email dcr.campinginfo@mass.gov. The Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation oversees nearly 500,000 acres of land, making up one of the largest and most diverse state park systems in the country. Our work focuses on nurturing the vital connection between people and the environment by protecting, promoting, and enhancing our commonwealth of natural, cultural, and recreational resources for the well-being of all. DCR infrastructure connects people to and through the beautiful landscapes and accessible recreational facilities we care for, strengthening our communities and driving our economy. Our staff strive to build a healthier, more resilient Massachusetts where all residents and visitors can relax, reflect, and feel a sense of belonging in our open spaces and public lands. To learn more about DCR, our facilities and our programs, please visit www.mass.com/DCR or contact us at mass.parks@mass.com. Now to the next. New England Aquarium to screen new documentary exploring penguin love and conservation. Special to the journal, penguins may be some of nature's most devoted partners. Many species form lifelong bonds, while others find their mate for a season. Penguins, a Love Story, a new documentary recounting remarkable stories of penguin courtship, connection, and resiliency from South Africa to Australia, debuted at the New England Aquarium on the Simons Theatre giant screen Friday, February 13. The film introduces audiences to critically endangered African penguins from South Africa and fairy penguins, the smallest penguin in the world, from New Zealand and Australia. Shot in Cape Town, South Africa, the story follows Lenny, an African penguin, searching for his lifelong mate. On the other side of the beach, Fluffball, an orphaned penguin chick, is lovingly cared for by humans at a penguin hospital. His surrogate mom feeds him sardines and teaches him to swim, nurturing Fluffball until he is fully grown. The film then takes audiences to coastal Australia, where a group of fairy penguins terrorized by foxes finds respite and care from an unexpected source. As part of an innovative conservation strategy, a patrol of Marima dogs serve as protectors of the fairy penguins' nests and eggs, keeping danger at bay and providing hope for the species. The New England Aquarium is home to 51 penguins, including African penguins and southern rockhopper penguins. African penguins are an endangered species that inhabit the coasts of South Africa and Namibia and are threatened by the depletion of food from overfishing, climate change, and pollution. The aquarium is part of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, Safe African Penguin Program, an international effort to protect and restore wild African penguin populations. As a member of the program, the aquarium participates in educational and conservation initiatives for African penguins, including field conservation work with the Southern African Foundation for the Conservation of Coastal Birds. Penguins, A Love Story will be shown at the Aquarium's Simons Theatre starting February 13 as part of its global release. Tickets and show times are available by calling 617-973-5206. 617-973-5206 or by visiting neaq.org. The New England Aquarium is a non-profit research and conservation organization that has protected and cared for our ocean and marine animals for more than 55 years. We provide science-based solutions and help shape policies that create measurable change to address threats the ocean faces. We inspire action through discovery and help create engaged, resilient communities. Now to the next. Winthrop Hockey celebrates senior night anniversary of 1976 state championship. This past Saturday was truly a special day for the Winthrop High School hockey program. Our alumni weekend brought together generations of players, families, and supporters as we honored the 50th anniversary of our 1976 state championship team, celebrated senior year, unveiled the banner from our 2005 state championship, and introduced our incredible new Living Museum. The Living Museum, recognizing every team from 1965 to the present, is a remarkable tribute to the legacy, pride, and tradition of Winthrop hockey. The photos, articles, and artifacts tell a powerful story of dedication, teamwork, and community that defines our program. I would like to extend my sincere gratitude to the Walrus family, Kimino family, Hios family, Alex Alexandro family and Winthrop Golf Club for their continued generosity and unwavering support. Your commitment helps preserve our history and inspire future generations. Thank you as well to everyone who attended the reception and generously donated to support our living museum. Because of you, this tribute to our program will stand proudly for years to come. It was truly an amazing event, a celebration for past, our present and our future. Now to the next. City Paws at Home Dental Care by Penny and Ed Sherwin. Would you like to save thousands of dollars in veterinary expenses over your pet's lifetime? One easy way is to provide effective at-home dental care. Daily toothbrushing can reduce the number of professional dental cleanings your dog or cat will need to undergo. In a 2025 article, the website Chewy.com estimated the cost of veterinary dental cleaning for a dog to be between $200 and $800. We all know the cost in this area is high and may exceed that estimate. That's just the cost of the cleaning, because general anesthesia is used. Pre-operative examinations, blood work, and urine analysis may be needed. If dental radiographs, periodontal treatment, or extractions are required, the cost can reach into the thousands. Even with the best of care, as we have learned with our Westie Poppy, breathing and other health issues may still find you facing dental procedures. Brushing teeth. Your vet can show you how to brush your dog's teeth. There are also many videos online and offer tips and tricks. We knew the benefit of daily brushing. Our second Westie, Maggie May, had her teeth brushed twice a day for 15 years. She was cooperative and thought her poultry-flavored toothpaste was a treat. She had one dental cleaning in her life at age 7. We use regular soft bristles toothbrush with dog-specific toothpaste. Canine toothpaste comes in flavors dogs like. It can also be swallowed, so you don't have to teach your pup to spit and rinse. The first step is to help your pet get used to having you examine their mouth. Gently open the mouth with one hand and look around. Once that works, apply a small amount of toothpaste to your finger and rub it on the teeth. Step by step, your dog or cat will learn to accept a toothbrush. Other ways to clean teeth. Besides brushing, there are other ways you can help your dog have cleaner, healthier teeth. And if you have an older dog or one just won't let you into their mouth, these may be the best you can do. Your vet can tell you about wipes, sprays, treats, and chew toys that help clean the teeth. Holistic approaches may include dietary changes and adding supplements to food or water to help kill bacteria and reduce plague on teeth. There are special chew toys that help clean teeth. These work best for young dogs and dogs who love to chew. Brushing is always better, but because the process becomes easier as the dog ages, and it allows you to perform a daily review of the mouth and teeth. Symptoms of dental disease, bad breath, visible plaque on teeth, and red swollen gums are reasons to make a vet appointment. More subtle changes in your pet may provide early warning and should be reported to your veterinarian. These would include not chewing food well, chewing on one side of the mouth, less interest in chew toys, and increase in salivation and pawing at or rubbing the face. Healthy teeth, healthy pet. Dental problems don't end in the mouth. Bacteria from dental infections can enter the bloodstream and affect organs such as the heart and kidneys. Daily brushing will not only save money on dental bills, but may also help you avoid treatment for chronic illness that can come from untreated dental problems. Do you have any question or topic for City Paws? Email Penny at the rate Boston Chest.com with your suggestion. Now to the next forum. Our opinions. Social media must be off limits for children. After about 20 years of social media platforms operating without any legal or moral constraints, the evidence is overwhelmingly clear that social media is toxic for our children. Much like the tobacco company 75 years ago, Big Tobacco was fully aware of the health dangers of their products but concealed their findings for decades. Today's tech conglomerates have hidden the truth of addictive nature of their algorithms upon our children. The recent release of internal emails and studies from these social media companies has revealed that they were well aware of the danger that their algorithms pose to young people, whose developing brains are susceptible to the non-stop messaging that spews from the platform. However, as far as these rapacious social media companies are concerned, our children serve merely as profit centers for them. The business model is simple and predatory. The longer a child remains tethered to the screen, the more data is harvested and the more revenue is generated. It is clear that social media companies lack any sense of morality and they never will self-regulate. there's simply too much money at stake. There's simply too much money at stake to ever prioritize child safety over shareholder returns. The global community has finally begun to fight back. Australia recently enacted a law that prohibits children under 16 from holding social media accounts on major platforms. Other nations, including Spain, France, and Portugal, have followed suit with similar bans. Even China has recognized the danger that social media platforms pose to children, has implemented a 40-minute daily limit for children under the age of 14. The time has come for Congress to take similar action by modifying Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act. For too long, this law has protected online platforms, websites, and internet service providers from liability for content posted by third-party users. While Section 230 was intended to foster internet growth, it was never meant to provide a legal shield to companies that knowingly design products to be addictive and harmful. One generation of American children already has been scarred by the ill effects of social media. We have seen the spikes in depression, anxiety, and self-harm that track perfectly with the rise of the smartphone. Congress needs to take action now, not just to regulate content, but to mandate a minimum digital age of consent for the benefit of our future generations. Our children's mental health is not a commodity. It is the time that our laws remove our children's finger and eyeballs as profits centers for big tech. Ramadan begins this week. Ramadan, which will begin this week following the sighting of the crescent moon, is the holiest month of the year for members of the Muslim faith. For 2026, Ramadan is projected to start as early as Tuesday, February 17, and extend through Thursday, March 19, or Friday, March 20, upon the sighting of the next crescent moon. Muslims believe this is the month in which the Quran's first verses were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. Ramadan is observed worldwide as a month of fasting, daily prayer, salah, reflection, and community. Fasting from dawn to sunset each day is obligatory fard for all healthy adults and involves abstaining from all food and drink, including water. This practice is intended to cultivate taqwa, God-consciousness, self-discipline, and empathy for the less fortunate. The day begins with a pre-dawn meal known as suhur, and the first fast is broken at sunset with a meal called iftar, often shared with family and neighbors. The conclusion of Ramadan is celebrated with Eid al-Fitr, the festival of breaking the fast, a three-day celebration of gratitude, community, and charity. We wish all of our friends and neighbors of the Muslim community a happy and holy Ramadan. Now to the next news briefs. RMB announces special MA 250 low number plate lottery. The Massachusetts Registry of Motor Vehicles, RMV, celebrating President's Day by announcing a special low number lottery featuring the state's new 250th anniversary plate. Residents can apply starting today, February 16, at 9 a.m. and have until 5 p.m. on Friday, April 17, 2026. Further information is available at mass.gov/MA250 plate. The Massachusetts 250 Years of Independence plate is emblematic red and blue and is now the most popular specialty plate in the Commonwealth, with more than 57,000 issued in just over 7 months. The plate features a blue background with the year 1776 surrounded by 13 stars and the phrase 250 Years of Independence at the bottom. There are 1,000 plates available through the lottery, numbered from 1 to 999, and including the symbolic 1776. Massachusetts is a state of many firsts, and it is only appropriate that we celebrate the nation's 250th anniversary, honoring our shared history with the opportunity to celebrate civic pride with a commemorative low number license plate through a lottery. This is a fun but meaningful and visible tribute to the historic occasion, allowing residents to participate in this once in a lifetime event, said interim MassDOT secretary and MBTA general manager Philip Ng. Since last May, the RMV has offered the patriotic themed higher number plate online as part of the Masters 250 festivities. We are so excited to continue the celebration of American and state history by enabling all qualified Massachusetts residents a chance to win a coveted low number on the popular commemorative plate. The RMV is thrilled to partner with the Massachusetts State Lottery and benefit from their lottery expertise. And thank you to the RMV team for their incredible efforts in planning this event. Shared Registry of Motor Vehicles Registrar Colin Ogley. This event represents a unique opportunity to combine historical recognition with public engagement in a way that aligns with the lottery's mission. A commemorative low lottery plate is likely to generate strong interest from residents across the state while honoring an extraordinary milestone in our state's history, said Massachusetts State Lottery Executive Director Mark William Brecken. Applications for the special 253 anniversary plate low number lottery will be available at my RMV online services center located under the plates button beginning at 9 a.m. on Monday, February 16, 2006. To be eligible for the low number lottery, applicants must apply by 5 p.m. on Friday, April 17, 2006. Requests for specific plate numbers will not be honored. Plates will be awarded using an electronic random number generator system. Applicants should note that there is no fee to apply for the lottery. All specialty plates have biennial $40 special plate fee along with the registration fee of $60. The initial registration fee may vary depending upon the applicant's current plate expiration date and the expiration date for the winning number plate. Customers are encouraged to visit the RMV's website or follow @MassRMV on X, formerly Twitter, for additional details about the lottery. In addition, lottery plate applicants will be sent a notification from the RMV to the email address they provided with lottery event details. The lottery winners will be announced on May 7, and residents will be able to watch the event online via the RMV website. Following the event, results will be available on the RMV website. This was Priya reading Winthrop Sun transcript. Thank you for listening. Thank you.